Okay. Hope you like that song. It's called Maze Deep Sea. It's a song from the Fate Extra soundtrack. It's composed by Shinji Hosoe. They pretty much play that song whenever you're going a level, you know, dungeon exploring to level grind, which is basically 90% of the game, unfortunately. But anyway, before I get into the review of Fate Extra, I'll go over some minor changes I made within the course of like a couple of hours. I said first I was going to do like short reviews, like around 10 minutes long, but at this point, I pretty much, the minimum is 10 minutes, but I'm going to talk for as long as I possibly can without, with the minimum being 10 minutes, but I'm going to not really have anything, at least I'm not going to try to have over, like, I don't know, 45 minutes, I don't know, anything to keep smaller files. And I listened to my last file, and I was just using the microphone on my laptop. I mean, the sound sounded pretty good, so I may not use a microphone. So, unless I get complaints from somebody, I'm not gonna use a microphone. So I'm just gonna use my laptop, save money that way. Also, a couple of disclaimers. I will cuss. So if you have your problem with profanity, just this is your warning. I'm trying not to cuss that much, but I know I will. Because some of the games I'm gonna be reviewing later on, and you can see that on the blog where I host these podcasts, where I have a list of the topics for future podcasts. But yeah, I'm totally going to be cussing because those games have some crazy crap going on. Otherwise, I'm going to be cussing. It's just a warning. Also, maximum spoilers. I'm not going to sit there and explain the entirety of the plot of the game, but I'm just going to talk. And I obviously can't really tell what people know and don't know. And I hate talking from the perspective that people don't know anything about the game, because that makes it pretty hard to talk about anything, especially in game review. So just expect some spoilers. So if you're not done playing the game and you don't want any spoilers, then maybe don't listen to the chat. Just wait on it. But yeah, those are a few changes I made within the course of a few hours. So I'm just getting a feel for this, but whatever. Anyway, dive into the game review for Fate Extra. It's for the PSP. It's a JRPG, or Japanese role-playing game. I always say JRPG because there's a big difference between JRPGs and Eastern RPGs. So, I like making that difference. Like, there's a difference between Final Fantasy and, or even Final Fantasy 13, I guess would be more specific in this example, and World of Warcraft. Huge difference. One's Japanese, one's Eastern. And they tend to be really different like that. Anyway, it's a JRPG, and it's due to the fact that it's a Type Moon thing. And Type Moon are the people who did Fate Stay Night, Fate Zero, Tsukihime, visual novel, because the anime never happened. But yeah, I think Zero no Tsukaima, I could be wrong, I'm sorry if I am trying to remember these names off the top of my head. They're the people who did that. Another name for it is Nasuverse, that's like the fan name, because Nasu does a lot of the work, but it's basically it's a game from them. And the publishers are Axies, Marvelous Entertainment, and another company I forgot off the top of my head. And Axies, of course, did the Guilty Gear series and the BlazBlue series. I love the BlazBlue series, so let me talk about that eventually. But anyway, it's like a JRPG visual novel mixture, because Type Moon typically does visual novels. I guess this is their shot at trying to do a JRPG. I guess it's the first time for anything. This one's kind of a crappy attempt, but whatever, get into that later. So dive right in. I'm going to talk about gameplay first. Holy god, the gameplay. I mean, overall, it plays like a visual novel RPG mix. You have your ass because there's a lot of reading. So if you're like, I hate reading crap, well, don't play this game because it's all reading. It's a lot of text. And then there's a lot of... it's a lot of text. And then whenever you decide that they're not going to be talking, then there's... It's basically you buying items and then level grinding. That's pretty much the game. You level grind, you fight bosses, you buy items, because you don't even need to buy armor. You get armor from the dungeons. So you buy, like, healing items, and you talk to people. That's all you do. And then you do really short, simple fetch quests, because you can't go outside of the school building, because the school building is the same pretty much for the entire game. So, whenever you're not level grinding, you're in the school building, so you don't do fetch quests that difficult. I mean, unless it involves you going to the dungeon, it's not going to be all that much. So, it's pretty simple. I mean, you fetch quests, you do some investigation to find out the identity of the servant you're fighting for that week. You find out who it is. Hopefully, sometimes you may not, but honestly, you will. You find out who it is, and then you fight him. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really have too much of an effect on the boss. I mean, on the boss battle. It does adjust how many moves you can predict they're gonna make, but whatever, man. I mean, you can make it work even if you didn't really know that much. But yeah, gameplay is slow. It's pretty much the fight system and dungeon crawling. And all the game is freaking dungeon crawling. It's literally 90% dungeon crawling. So if you want a great example for this, like Dark Cloud, .hack series, those are great examples where it's like either you're in the dungeon or you're talking about you're talking to characters about going into the dungeon. That's all it is, dungeon crawling. When you're in a dungeon, you're just level grinding. And when you're level grinding, BT dubs, you can't save any points. So you will have points of time where you're just fighting for and level grinding for hours. And then unfortunately, you'll like F up some combination, some pattern, because it's all about patterns with the fight system. You'll F up, and then you'll get game over, so that's hours of level grinding down the drain. So have fun, because that's going to happen all the freaking time. And by the way, the fight system, it's pretty much, you'll see on the Amazon reviews, it's basically glorified rock, paper, scissors. I mean, that's not a main thing reason to, like, dislike the game, as far as I'm concerned, but it's basically, you get your three options for a fight. Either you're attacking, you're defending, or you're guard breaking. And guard break you use to, or it's just called breaking, but it's essentially guard breaking. And break you use against guard, you use guard against attack, and of course you use attack against break. If you do guard when the other character's guarding, you know, nothing happens. Attack when the other character's attacking, either you both do damage to each other and nothing happens. And the same thing with break, either you both do damage to each other or no damage is done because it evens out because of your stats or whatever. And also with the stats, this is one of those things where you can customize how which stats are increased and when. The only thing that's pretty much going to always be increasing is your HP and your MP. But yeah, it's a glorified rock, paper, scissors fight system. And plus patterns, because honestly, once you memorize the patterns for like regular enemies that you'll be fighting against in the dungeons, you pretty much can get it. I mean, sometimes they'll throw in the freaking curve just to F with you, but I mean, after you level grind for hours, you'll get to the point where you can completely see the entire 6-turn pattern of whatever enemy you're fighting against, and at that point, it's just pretty much like you're just doing it as a chore. And so, honestly, once you get past a certain point with levels, like, I think 20 plus, level grinding becomes so freaking annoying because it's going to take hours just to go up one level, and you're sitting there like, this is freaking ridiculous. But you have to do it, because if you don't do it, you're going to get your ass kicked the next fight. So just freaking do it. Also, this is the type of game, you can kind of customize your main character, but really, the customization stops with either male or female in the name. After that, that's pretty much it. The game experience really doesn't change all that much from male to female. You can't... unfortunately, I would love it if you could change your costume, but that's... I'm going to leave that for complaining later on. But yeah, male and female, and you choose their names. You can even choose their nickname, which is kind of dumb and pointless, but whatever, you can pick their nickname too. And with the female, the male, like, because of experiences with servants, you will have certain comments from conversations changed due to the gender of the servant. I mean, the gender of your master or your character controlling, but really, it's not going to change all that much. So, literally, it doesn't matter what gender you play as. Of course, it being Typhoon, they prefer for you to view female character for Archer and male character for servant. No, crap, not servant. For the caster and the saber class servants, but I said F it, and I reversed it. I did male for Archer because I'm starting like a new game file, game file soon. And I have a female for caster. Of course, regardless of your gender, your servants are still, at least your female servants are still in love with you. I'll find out whether or not it's the same way with Archer. Probably not. So basically, they're bisexual with saber and caster class. So no matter what you do, that's what they'll do. They'll be in love with you either way, especially caster. And you can choose what class you want. It's just funny because the game will tell you pretty much how the gameplay, what the gameplay is going to be like according to what servant you choose. So if you go archer, I think it's a more I think Archer's force get, I forgot how they define it. I think Saber's the balanced one to get if you want, you know, a decent amount of skills, a decent amount of attack or whatever. Archer's more of a, like, for skills and such. And Caster, of course, because Caster out of the three classes is the weakest, weaker of the three, with Assassin ultimately being the weakest, but you can't pick Assassins, don't worry about it. But Caster's the weakest, and if you choose Caster, Caster's pretty much if you want to make the game difficult. Let me just tell you this. Basically, the game's going to have several points where it basically ridicules you for picking Caster class. I chose Caster. Caster is a cute Kitsune Miko. Sorry, I'm doing Japanese words, but those are the ones I know. But basically, it's a fox shrine maiden. Only to find out she's not really a fox, she's a jackal, but whatever, you'll find out when you play. Doesn't make any freaking, or it makes sense, but whatever. It's like, if you know the legend, it makes sense. If you don't know the legend, you're just sitting there like, why the fuck should I care at all? Because I don't, I really don't. But Caster, who's Tamama no Mae, in real life, so she's the cursed stone. That's her, or her, real identity. She's awesome, she's super kawaii, desune, I know the saying the wrong way, but I don't care. She's super cute, but it, I mean, that's what you do if you hate yourself, because the game's gonna punish you. Excuse me, every chance it gets for choosing caster class, that's just what it's gonna do. It hates you for choosing caster class, and will let you know that every chance it gets. So put it this way: you have your saber and you have your archer. Archer is Garcher. He's Shiro. So, it's the same Archer you know from the anime series, or the regular visual novel series, Fates Day Night. And Saber, see, what they do with Saber for the Fate series is that they keep reusing the same Saber, and this one they just BS it because it's basically the same Saber, because she looks exactly the same. Her nickname is the Red Saber, but the only difference is that, excuse me, instead of being Saber Arturia, so Arthur or Arturia Pendragon that we all know and love, it's Nero, as in the very Nero that burned down Rome and then blamed it on the Christians. You know this if you went to a Catholic elementary, high school, or college, because you will learn this to death. But, yeah, it's that Nero. So, that's hilarious. It's like, oh, you thought it was Arturia with a different costume? No, it's another saber. It just looks exactly the same. It's like, why couldn't you just skip? That's a whole other complaint, because I hate that they keep using saber. But those are your servants. Archer, Caster, and Saber. If you want a good gameplay experience, go with Saber or Archer. If you want to make this game unnecessarily difficult, especially when you get to boss fights like the Berserker fight, the Lancer fight especially, and then the final two fights, excuse me, you're going to curse God and Gaia and everybody else for even picking Caster, because that's what I fucking did. So go with Saber and Archer for your first playthrough. Use Caster for your second playthrough, but not the first, because I can tell you from experience, it's a pain in the butt. Anyway, moving on to music. Music's awesome. It's a very small soundtrack list. Like, when you get one of the main soundtracks, it's only 10 songs. I think there's probably about, like, 15 songs total. Because, you know, they screw you over with the original soundtrack, where they give you, like, 10 songs, but they don't give you another 5 or 10 for whatever freaking reason, I don't know. But, whatever, it's about 10 to 15 songs. But it's a great soundtrack. If there's anything that Type Moon gets right, I don't care what they're doing, it's the music. So even though, you know, you can have your reservations about Fae Extra, the music is absolutely stellar. I think even for Tsukihime Lunar Legend, the anime that never happened, the music was astounding. Because I remember whenever I see the trailer for it, the music they're playing for is great. But, you know, the rest of it sucked, of course. But anyway, back to music for this. This is great. It's like a jazzy, kind of like, I don't know how to put it. I want to say calypso, but that's probably way off. But it's like this jazzy, kind of war theme music where a lot of it sounds like, you know, underwater, undersea, kind of like that kind of vibe. I don't know how to describe it right now, even though I've been in music for like all my life. I can't describe that type of music, but it's definitely jazzy. It sounds great. It's perfect for it. I love it. The names of the songs are simple enough, but the soundtrack's great. Going back to the service for a second, all the service have their own theme music. Archer's got like his another version. It's like the Fae Extra version, essentially, of his regular theme music. Saber's theme music sounds pretty cool, and that's the music you'll hear whenever you see a trailer for it. That or it's the Alley Project opening. So if you hear music, if you hear people singing, it's the Alley Project opening, but whatever. And Caster sounds really cool. It's like this techno, kind of like a shrine music. I don't know how to describe it. But techno, like Japanese, like old Japanese kind of Koto music. That's really great. But the music's great. That's one thing that definitely this game definitely gets right. The music's awesome. Let's move on to the story, freaking plot. Oh my god. Let's put it this way. It's Grail Wars. It's a typical Holy Grail Wars. On the moon. So you got wishes being granted. On the moon. And then, of course, if you play the game, this makes no sense to me, you're underwater. On the motherfucking moon. So you're on the moon, and there's a war theme. Whenever you go into the levels, it's very underwater, like under the sea type theme for like the imagery and the level design. But you're on the goddamn moon. So this makes no sense to me. Because it's like you're going underwater, and the core of the moon is like the actual Grail, which essentially is like a supercomputer. But it's like when you're going through the levels, it feels more like you're surfacing versus you're diving deeper and deeper into the core. Because when you get to the final area, which is like, you know, the final week when you're fighting, when you're fighting Saber, you basically surface, you see dolphins jumping on the surface, you see the moon, the sun on the moon, it's weird, it's like the sun's right there, on the moon, so you see the sun, which makes sense, because the person you're fighting, the idea of that Saber is Gawain, as in Knights of the Round Table Gawain, which is why it's like, this actually would have been the perfect time to bring Saber or Tyria back, but whatever, you don't have that Saber, you have Saber near, whatever, that's another thing. But yeah, so it's basically, it's a lot of Suki or moon theme plus Umi and underwater themes. You got moon, you got Suki Ume, just go with that. You could be, if you took Japanese, you're probably like, you're fucking up all the words. I don't care, I only say Japanese specifically to troll any friend I have that took Japanese, because that's how I do. That's how I roll, bitch. Anyway. Also, along with the underwater moon theme, it's like this Matrix-y theme, because you can't go to the moon because all technological development has been ceased by the Haraway family or the Haraway plutocracy. That's the actual word. Look it up. Because the Haraway family controls the world because whatever war happened, whatever, like Haraway family seized control and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, technological development has been ceased. So there's no moon travel. There's no space travel. So the only real way to go to the moon to do the Grail Wars is to have this kind of Matrix thing happened where your body is somewhere and your mind's kind of transported to this Nippon Gakuen or Japanese high school saying on the moon, which is weird because it's like of all the sayings, it's supposed to be for everybody internationally to go to. Why is it a Japanese high school? Whoever. Because that's the saying, because how the preliminary rounds work is that first off, the Grail Wars is like a tournament. And preliminary rounds is basically, you have all the people who want to do it in this Japanese high school. And by the end of the week, you have to, because all their memory has been, they've been given temporary amnesia. So by the end of that week period, you have to basically remember who you are and why you're there. If you don't remember why you're there, you'll die, basically. Like, you'll go fight somebody, go fight what you call effigies, which is a real thing, with another effigy. You'll get killed by that effigy, and you'll when you die in the game, you die in real life. You die in Matrix, you die in real life. So when your Matrix projects itself, gets killed, you'll die in real life, because what the Grail does essentially in this universe is it's basically like it stores all the information of the world. So basically, and it's basically like an Akasha record. So when you die in the Grail War, it's like the Akasha record of you. Akashic record of you was destroyed. So you basically don't exist at all anymore. I think it's honestly a case of you never existed. But so you can't die, of course. So the first week, you have to get past that. And that's going to kill a lot of people. Once you get past that, though, you go to the main Grail, you know, Grail War events. And essentially for that, because the Grail in this game is basically like they equate it to a supercomputer, it can support hundreds of servants being summoned, and therefore hundreds of masters. So, you just got this huge tournament, and you have like 100+ masters and servants fighting against each other. But of course, you only know 7, and those 7 are going to be the seven classes. You know, archer, I'm going to order, saber, archer, lancer, and then you have rider, caster, berserker, and, oh crap, boys, and assassin. But yeah, so that's basically the world. You have NPC characters, because it's weird, because this is a matrixy setting, you literally have, it's basically, you're going to have moments where it's fourth wall leaning, because you ever really break the fourth wall, because I'm kind of a huge stickler for that. If I want to be involved in this universe, I want to be enveloped in it. I don't need you to remind me that this is just a game or whatever. I hate fourth wall breaking. But due to the nature of the game within the game, essentially, there are moments where you have characters like, oh yeah, I'm just an NPC, so I can't really do anything. And it's like, well, it's fourth wall breaking without fourth wall breaking, because it makes sense in context of the universe. So I found that interesting. So we got NPCs that are like, yeah, I'm an NPC, but whatever. And it's just interesting. I mean, the plot is one of those plots also where it's like, there's a lot going on, but I feel like they reveal a little bit to the player, and the rest of it's mostly hidden. You want a great example of that? Blaze Blue. Most of the plot is hidden, and most of the times you're just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? It's a very intricate and complex plot, but they're not going to tell you about it. You just have to play through just to find out about like 10% of the fucking plot. That's pretty much how Factor is too. There's a lot going on, but you really don't know that much, or you really won't find anything until, of course, near the end of the game. Which is kind of really annoying, however. Excuse me. Okay, art and character design. The artwork and character design is great. Typical Type Moon artwork. You got the, kind of like the soulless eye look, which is always fun, kind of disturbing, kind of hilarious, but definitely Type Moon eyes, as I like to call them. So, typical Type Moon artwork. It's really good. I have a problem with it. Character design was good. It's just, the fun thing is it does one of those things where you see characters from pretty much not just the Fate Stay Night universe, but you'll see characters from all across the Time Moon multiverse. So you'll see Rin Tosaka, you'll see Shinji, you'll see Sakura, but then, and Kirei, and Taiga, and Issei. Probably forgot some other characters, but whatever. But then you'll also see the Aozaki sisters, Siaoko and Toko, and one of them's from Karin no Kyokai, or at least I've seen them only in Karin no Kyokai or Garden Centers. The other one you'll see in the Melty Blood and Tsukihime portion of the Type Moon multiverse. You also will see Arquid, who is from Tsukihime and Melty Blood. BT Dubs, this is the moment where I realized it's Arquid. For the longest time, I was calling her a Rusiad. I don't know where I got Rusiad from. I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere. I said that in front of other Type Moon fans. I didn't get corrected. I thought it was Rusiad. I'm sorry to anybody who's a diehard fan that I offended, but that's when I found it was Arquid. So, F that. That was annoying. Not to mention the fact that Arquid is in this game, and this is pretty much when you shit your pants, because it's like, if you know the Type Moon multiverse, at least know who Arquid is, you pretty much will freak out, because it's like, what the f- that's this bullshit. Okay, so, that aside, I mean, the only thing I didn't like about the art design, or the character design, not the art design, the character design, when it comes to your player character, I mean, I hate the fact that you don't really have that many poses or facial expressions. Like, all the other characters have, like, other things happening, but you don't. Like, they'll have at least slight changes in facial expressions, in different poses. Your character will have no changes in character, like, facial expressions or poses. They pretty much always look the same. And the female, to me, has, like, the worst poses and characters of facial expressions, because they look all, like, meek and mild-mannered, and you have, like, the typical anime girl that poses up, like, eh, I'm a cat, no, don't hurt me, no, please don't, no, and that's her poses. Meanwhile, the guy's like, come at me, bro, and you're like, really? We have to make it that kind of sexism again? Come on, really? Stop. This is ridiculous, but you'll see when you play the game if you didn't play the game, but if you did, it's like, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like, the same freaking poses, and poses for the woman's all like, it's smug, it'll take up less space, it's sexism and WGS issues, and the male's almost always like, other stereotypical male WGS issues, while I'm strong, I have to make myself big, all bullshit. Whatever. Okay, move on to level design. So, level design. Main problem. You can't mother freaking save. You can't save. This is a game that's built upon level grinding, like Dot Hack and technically Dark Cloud, even though you're like rebuilding the world, but it's also level grinding. But that's way extra. The level grinding, that's all you do with the game, the level grinding. 80% of the game, level grinding. And you can't save. So we got one aspect that's the core aspect of the game, and you fucked up two places already. You can't save, and you got repetitive enemies. They all look the same. It's just they change colors. They got slightly different names. And you have a shitty fight system. It's possibly the crappiest fight system I've ever seen, but it's more explicitly seen with boss battles than anything else. I mean, it's deplorable. It's like, if you were going to do a visual novel, just stuck to the visual novel. Don't do a JRPG visual novel mix, and then you focus a lot on the visual novel aspect, and you fuck up everything else with the rest of the RPG access. I mean, what the... But yeah, anyway, you can't save. And like I said, you have to level grind. That's the entirety of the game. You're just level grinding. You're level grinding to get skills. You're level grinding to build up certain stats, which you're gonna have to do for caster. And you're level grinding for the sake of level grinding. You're level grinding because that's all you know how to do. Excuse me. And like I said, have fun level grinding only to die to enemies because you overestimate or you underestimate how difficult they were gonna be. But hours of level grinding only to die. And this will especially happen when you get to points where you actually have to go one-on-one with whoever the master servant combination of the week you have to fight. And honestly, they start you off with the very first servant master combination, and it's Shinji, of course. Shinji and he has a master. Oh my god. Shinji and he has his rider servant. Before I continue on, one more thing I want to say about character design. They'll have characters from the existing characters from the Fate Stay Night and other Type Moon works, but then they'll slightly change her outfits. Rin Tosaka comes to mind, for example. It's slightly different. Like, she's got, like, this one guard belt. She has heels now. She has a slightly different sweater design. Like, they look essentially the same, but it's a few tweaks. Shinji, same thing. A few tweaks, and the artwork for, like, the regular, like, 2D artwork for the characters, like, is different from what you would see for, like, Fate Stay Night visual novel or anime. But anyway, getting back to level design. The first person you deal with is Shinji, his servant, is Ryder. And his Ryder is Eldrock. If you don't know who Eldrock, and of course he gender flipped him for no reason. But gender flipped, because in real life he was a guy. If you don't know who Eldrock was, Eldrock was basically the person who made the British, basically made possible for the British Empire to become what it was. He made the British Navy. Because at first it used to be that the Spanish Navy was the best, but Eldrock was made the British Navy superior to the Spanish Navy at the time, and opened up the doors for the British Empire to happen. And Eldrock is a famous real-life figure who was a man in real life, so I don't know why they gender flipped him, but yeah, that's the first combination you deal with. And you do, in fact, have to fight them one-on-one on a battle, which is hilarious because they tell you from the get-go, like, you know, masters of service, you're not supposed to fight in the arena when you go there. You're supposed to just, you know, level grind and have fun. And you play pancake and just talk it out. But you're not supposed to fight each other. So, of course, every goddamn week, you're going to fucking fight against whoever the current master is. You will. You'll do it every time. All 7 weeks, you will fight against them at some point. Because that's how you get a feel for how they are in battle and what you're going to deal with. So, it makes sense. But, like, yeah, every time, you have to fight them. Of course, you fight 3 turns. After 3 turns, the system will just cut you off in the battle. And that's how it is. But yeah. What else? So yeah. You have moments where you have to fight the, you know, master servant of that week. But here's the thing. And that's another thing. You can, like how Fate Zero had situations where it's like, because I feel like Fate Zero really did the whole, you know, Team Saber, Team Archer, etc., etc. thing. How they do in Fate Extra, like, you can do the same thing, but it's more like, you know, weak assassin, weak archer, etc. Because it's like, you pretty much break down the weak to whoever the hell you're fighting, and you break it down with class. And, anyway, getting back to the level design. Yeah, you have moments where one comes to mind, like, you have to fight Berserker. They will legit do things where they will not let you exit the dungeon, even though you have your item that lets you magically teleport out of the dungeon. they will not let, or the arena, not the dungeon. They will not let you leave the arena until you fight whoever the fuck you have to fight. You can't avoid them. Because there's going to be several weeks when you can actually see the person running around, so you can physically avoid them and run into them, which sucks because sometimes they'll basically go gunning for you and you're just sitting there like, F. Like, in Berserker, there's one point where you have to beat a certain type of enemy and beat them more so than the Team Berserker. And once you do that, you still are in the arena. Like, they don't let you teleport out. You're still there. And they will not let you leave the arena until you fight Berserker. Fun thing to realize after the fact. I legit spent 2 hours training, trying to avoid Berserker, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to use my item to teleport out of the arena. And they would not let me teleport out the arena. They're like, you have to fight Berserker. I couldn't manually go to the little teleport thing that teleports you out of the arena. I couldn't use the item. You have to fight Berserker. And most of the times, if there's a point in time where you can see the master and server are physically there in the arena, you have to fight them. You can't leave. And quite frankly, if you try to leave, you can't advance the plot until you fight them, or you'll miss out on collecting information and being able to fill out the enemy's matrix, so you'll F that up anyway, so you can't do that. But yeah, that sucks when you put that in combination, like, you know, level grinding for hours and you can't save, and then you have to fight Berserker, and you know, if you're me, you have Caster. I played the game first as Caster, with a Caster servant, of course, Tamama no Mai, and yeah, that's a hell of experience when you have Caster, because, like, the game loves to basically remind you that it's the weakest possible class you could possibly pick in the game. It's making the game unnecessarily difficult for yourself, and it's going to suck, but yeah. So, real quick, not really part of level design, but I'm putting it in there. Because I'm basically reading off the thing that notes I read for this podcast, but boss battles. Holy god, the boss battles. Blah, 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 the boss battles. You won't really notice how shitty the fight system is until you do the motherfucking boss motherfucking battles. At first, it's fine. You know, first couple weeks boss battles, they're nice enough to tell you when your enemy server is going to use a Noble Phantasm. Because in this game, you can do Noble Phantasm. And this is another place where the game falls flat on its face. One thing is, you don't really know the identity of your servant until literally you're about to beat the game. So probably like week 6 is when you start really figuring out the identity of your servant. And honestly, you won't know until week 4, I think, your own servant's Noble Phantasm. So for all the fights up to that point, everybody's using Noble Phantasm. But you can't motherfucking do a Noble Phantasm until week 4. Which is utterly ridiculous, because it's like, how am I supposed to make a strategy to fight the other servant? Like, you know, I'm trying to think in universe. How am I supposed to make a strategy to fight the other servant and their master when I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're capable of, and I can't even use a Noble Phantasm? That's really freaking stupid. And when it's Caster, it's really insulting, because it's like, Caster, stop fucking with me. Tell me what your Noble Phantasm is. And she's pretty much like, yeah, I'm not gonna do it. Yeah, I'll tell you later. Yeah, you don't need to know. And you're a fucking Caster. You're cowy as shit, but what the fuck? Archer will just troll the fuck out of you, because that's how he is. I don't really know how Saber does. I don't really care, because I don't really care. I just don't. To me, Saber's like a generic option, so I don't care. Anyway, boss battles. Yeah, Caster class makes boss battles more difficult. I'm going to base this off using Caster class. So, you know, first few weeks is fine, because they're actually nice enough to tell you no phantasms. Then you'll get to a point where they stop telling you the Noble Phantasms, and quite frankly, they won't really start telling you what their Noble Phantasms are going to be until you're retrying the battle for the, like 4th or 5th time in a row. And here's a little thing, it's a little spoiler alert type thing. Every boss battle is going to take you at least 3 tries to win, at least 3. 2 was my least with Assassin class, of course. Assassin's the weakest class. I love how that worked out. Weakest class, it took me the least amount of tries to fight that. Literally, it took me 2 tries. On average, it takes me 5 tries. Granted, the Lancer fight pretty much shoots that average way up. But Assassin, it took me 2 tries. First try, the identity of Assassin's Li Shuyin. I can't really pronounce the name, unfortunately. Li Shuyin. He's a real-life martial artist. He was gifted martial arts and perfected the whole no second strike thing. He's a great fire, and not only just a great fire, but he's great with the spear too. But his Noble Phantasm is called No Second Strike. Guess what turn he used it on? Or what turn, or out of the six rounds, what round he used it on? Second round. So your first thing was like a block form of whatever he did, and his second turn will be, or his second round, I can't use the turns right. His second turn, let's just call it turns. You got six turns within the round. His second turn was No Second Strike. So once you figure that out, it's like legit, that's what he does. I mean, if you don't block against that, you're dead. But literally, second try is like just guard every time it's the second round, second turn, and you'll be good. But yeah, that fight wasn't necessarily easy. I was surprised how little turns it took me to do that. But anyway, back to the boss battles. You know, Noble Phantasm, they usually show you, and then you get to a point again, stop showing you. Now, the thing with Noble Phantasms, when you're using Caster, is you will get to a point where you for sure have to guard whatever the other character is using in Noble Phantasm. You probably can BS with Archer and Saber, but Caster class, you have to guard. If you don't guard, it's going to basically be an instant kill. Here's the deal, though. You will get to a point in the game where you will learn a skill for Caster that's called... Oh, crap. Is it Beast? It's not Beastial Sky. Oh, my God. A Fog Cave. You'll learn a skill called Fog Cave. It's basically your skill version of your guard. It's a way more powerful version of your guard for her. And it drains SP, or MP, whatever they called it, as well as it reduces the damage done by attack significantly. When you learn that attack, legit, the next week's boss battle, you have to use that whenever you're blocking a Noble Phantasm. If you don't use a Fog Cave when blocking a Noble Phantasm with Caster, you will die. Guaranteed. I mean, I think this starts happening by the second week. You need to use your Noble... Or whenever you use a Fog... Learn a Fog Cave. Whenever you learn a Fog Cave, you need to use them whenever the enemy is about to use their Noble Phantasm, because you will die. Which is great when they start... When they stop telling you when they're going to do their Noble Phantasms, because you're fucked. Of course, because of boss battles, the only boss battles I care to talk about are Berserker and Lancer. Berserker was fun because she had over 10,000 points of HP. I would say the whole over 9,000 min, but that's way overused. I have other mins I can overuse, like Unlimited Whatever Works, whatever. Excuse me. So, Unlimited Berserker works! Anyway, so Berserker has over 10,000 points of HP, which is daunting, because that's the first time you fight somebody with that much HP. But even then, after you get through it, it's like, it's really just a lot of HP. She follows a slight pattern when she does her skills, because honestly, she won't do her Noble Phantasm until the sixth turn. And when you get her HP low enough, or she's in the red, she does that slumped over, like, my HP's low stance that all the enemies do once you get her HP low enough. She'll have another skill. Like, usually she'll do a skill her third turn, I think, and when you get her HP low enough, it could be, usually it's a power boost skill, usually it's a power boost skill, sometimes it'll be an attack, so when you get her HP low enough, it'll be an attack. So, Berserker's pretty easy. Now, Lancer fight, wrote a blog article on my Fuck Everybody, Life of a Slight Misanthropist WordPress blog. Basically, it's called that the Fuck Lancer article because fuck Lancer. That boss fight legit took me 20 plus tries from Caster. And this is when I realized the true horror of the game. It's not the fact that it's a glorified rock, paper, scissors fight system. It's the fact that there's no freaking pattern to boss fights. Like, all the enemies have patterns. When you get the boss fights, there's no pattern. Like, because I have the diagrams, I still do, where I wrote it down, because this is the type of game where at first the fight system seems simple, because just, like, all you need to do is, you know, write your little diagram where it's, like, enemy name, turn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then, you know, A for attack, B for break, and G for guard, and you can basically track the pattern and figure out, crack the pattern. Last of the boss battles, when I realized that boss battles technically have no pattern. So no matter how many times you can redo it, I mean, maybe the first two did, I don't know, but definitely Lancer. It never is the same pattern. It always changes up. Always. So literally, it's impossible to strategize for it. Because it doesn't really matter what item you use. Like, the only equipment you need to use for sure is that crap you have to do when you did the whole Vorpal Blade BS. Is it the Vorpal Blade? No, it's not the Vorpal Blade. That's Caster. I'm sorry. That's weak Caster. That whole assignment where you had to get the armor that you had to fight that enemy that was a whale. It was like a whale mini boss. It essentially was a boss, but it was a whale, and you had to fight whatever. You know when you see it. But that armor you definitely need to equip. And then after that, like, the only other armor I can recommend equipping is the armor, either an armor that debuffs or an armor that it blocks the enemy servant from using their skill. Either of those. So basically doing something preemptively, which is you stun them when they're about to use a skill, or do something post facto, which is debuffing them after they use the skill. And you have two debuff armors, because you'll literally just find this in the arena, and you should just keep it, because you never really have to buy armor. You can just use whatever you find in arena. You have one that debuffs one thing, one stat buff, and then you'll have another armor that debuffs every possible buff that they have. But in the case of Lancer Battle, just especially with Caster, I just went with the armor that you have to have that can heal you for a large amount and then cures you of any status elements. And then I use the other armor that stuns the enemy whenever they're using a skill. But the Lancer fight took me so many goddamn tries. It was ridiculous. The game basically cheated. Because it's like Rin Tosaka can do a skill against you that can potentially stun you and does all this, like, triple-digit damage. And you're like, dude, it's just a regular skill attack from a master. Why can't it do so much damage? Like, you could barely do 100 points of damage. This motherfucker could do 300 points of damage to you. And at that point in time, your caster class servant is probably going to be have no more than, like, 1,500 points of HP. Like, she won't have that much. And this bitch can do 300 points of damage to you from one skill attack from the master. Motherfucker. And right after she does that attack, she'll follow it up. Oh, it will be followed up by Lancer with another attack. So she'll do this attack that could potentially stun you, only for Lancer to follow up with another attack that can basically finish you off. So that's fun. Because that whole fight, because one thing I didn't mention is when you do, throughout the fight system, you can only take one action as a master. Because with the fight system, because that's one thing I really love about this game. That whole master-server interaction. Because it lets you see how this will work out in the actual game. The server can do their skills as many times as they want. So if there's six turns within the round, they use a skill every turn. But you as a master have one action you can do for any round. So you can heal them, cure them their stat ailment, buff or whatever, but you can only do one action for a round, which sucks, because it's like, there's moments where it's like, I need to debuff, and I need to heal, and it's like, nope, you can only do one. It's like, god damn it, because the Lancer fight is all fine and dandy, but when you get to the point where his HP is low enough, this is basically when you're going to curse the game, because the game pretty much pulls out all the stops, because then we'll get to a point where he will do this skill, which, oh, BT dubs, it gives him all life effect. So if you do finally manage to kill him, all life, and by that point in time you're basically dead anyway, so he'll just finish you off. So he'll do a skill that'll give him all life, and if you debuff that, he'll have this noble phantasm back. So basically when he does that little power up where he'll give him that all life effect, he can't use his noble phantasm anymore, or you can debuff him, but then he can use his noble phantasm. And honestly, even if you preemptively stun him from doing that skill, he'll just start doing multiple skill attacks in one round. So you're trying your best as caster to kill him in one shot. Because, I mean, you'll have your Noble Phantasm by this point. This is like the third week you can use your Noble Phantasm. You literally need to save your Noble Phantasm for when he's under, like, 2,000 points of HP, which is going to take a while for you to get him to as a caster class. At least if you're me. And it's annoying because, like, the first round is basically a giveaway because she's triggering your whole Noble Phantasm, and then the next five turns is you attacking the crap out of him. But then what he will do is he'll do two skill attacks in a row and then block and then do another skill attack. So are perfectly likely to just die that whole round anyway. So that fight was hell on earth. And then there's the saber fight, and quite frankly, I'm still on the saber fight. It's the last fight before the last boss battle, which is when you fight the true villain and the savior class. So it's another bullshit class for another bullshit fate thing. But whatever, you get to that point yet. But anyway, watch out for the Lancer boss battle if you're caster. I'm pretty sure it wasn't that difficult, or it wasn't that annoying if you're archer or saber. I'm gonna find out one way or the other with archer because I'm redoing the whole game as archer anyway. But definitely as caster, you're gonna curse the day that this game was made because the game basically cheats at that point. So move on for that. What's it? I call it funness factor. I mean, a game about level grinding. I hate. Oh, I didn't hate, but I didn't really like Dark Cloud that much for it. So this game is one of those, like, I did it for the plot. I really didn't do it for the fight system. I did it for the plot, and the plot's good enough. It's pretty decent. It's a lot of interesting concepts going on. Just you really need a lot of work. But it's an okay game. It's not really all that fun. It's way more tedious and work than anything else. Of course it is when it's a game about level grinding, but you do what you have to do. I don't know. It's like if you're one of those people, like, I have to do anything from my beloved series thing. Like, if you have to do anything from the Type Moon Multiverse, I mean, do it. It's worth it. But if you're just playing this game as a JRPG, you're gonna hate the day that you pay the money for this or borrow it from a friend, whatever. But it's okay. It's not that fun. It's like if I were to give it a 10 scale, I would give it 5 out of 10. Anyways, visual novel aspect, because Type Moon is a company, I don't know, publisher, I guess, that does visual novels. They're really in the business for visual novels. And date sims, because sex sells. But the visual novel aspect, now, they do something that I find utterly annoying, because I do play date sims, I do play visual novels. I play date sims more than anything else, though. I've played Yaoi, I played Yuri, play hetero, I play the whole spectrum, but I play date sims, namely. They do the crap, or and then I play JRPGs where you have options too. But they do that type of crap where they give you fake options where it's like, oh yeah, you could pick one of these options to say to reply to this conversation topic. But ultimately, what it really is there's one correct answer and then there's multiple wrong answers. Because they'll pretty much tell you from the get-go, oh, that's, like, you'll choose an answer and your character will have the inner thought, oh, but that's not what I really wanted to say. And you're like, bitch, if you're gonna give me options. Don't give me it's faux options where it's like, we give you options, but really there's only one right one. Like, that's not options then. Don't give me options and the illusion of a dialogue tree when really there isn't. That's just stupid. It's stupid, it's a waste of time, and that's just poor, that's bad writing. What the fuck? Because it's like, I know how that game is played. I know dialogue trees work. I've done a little mini choose your own adventure type PowerPoint thing before. I know it's tedious to write that crap out, but that's just poor planning, poor writing. Like, you used to doing visual novels type move. How could you have such shitty writing? I mean, what the fuck? So, not to mention that's one of the issues with the game. It's more of a visual novel than it is like an RPG. So most of the game you're just fucking reading. And I don't have a problem with reading, but it's like, I'm playing Hakuoki, Demon of the Fleeing Blossom, I believe is the name. Hakuoki is a Otome game. It's on the PSP as well. Ultimate game are games where basically you're a female and you're trying to pick a male to have ending with, versus a typical date sim. So it's basically female target audience date sim. Hakuoki, you'll have options, and when you pick an option, they don't tell you it's right or wrong. You just do that, and there's no technical right or wrong answer. You won't really find out until the end of the game. That's how you're supposed to do it. Not to mention, main focus, Hakuoki is a visual novel or is a date sim. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. But the way Fate Extra does it, it's ridiculous. It's like, oh, well, it's going to be a JRPG kind of like visual novel crossover, but it's really just a visual novel with JRPG elements, and they butchered those so horribly. That's my opinion about that. Okay. Other thoughts on this game. The way this game works out, and it makes sense because Fate Universe in general pretty much works out like this. The servant shapes and molds your gameplay. So I of course chose caster. That's why the gameplay is so difficult. That's why it's so tedious. That's why it's so annoying, because I have caster class. Caster's the weaker of the two classes you can pick. So I have caster class. Archer and Saber class will make a more fun gameplay experience. Archer's going to give you a more cynical outlook. I think Nero was a more fun, kind of la 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 things happening type version of the game. Caster kind of the same thing, because she's kind of got like the fun, like everything's fun and fine. But then she'll have her serious moments thing going, serious moments, that type of gameplay. But your servants really shape the gameplay. So basically, even if you could already despise the gameplay, namely from playing as caster, it honestly has a lot of replay to it, because the servants shapes the gameplay. So you might as well replay it three different times for the three different servants to see how different it can be. And use different genders for your main character along the way. But speaking of servants, I wish they had more servant options. They always give you the typical, like, you always see Saber. So I didn't give a shit about seeing Saber. I wish they gave you classes like, or like, gave you the full spectrum of servant class options, which would make it a way longer game, but I wish they gave you that full spectrum of being able to choose from any of the seven servant classes, or at least classes that you don't usually see chosen. Classes that you don't usually see. Like, they give you Saber and Archer, and it's like, that's what I was expecting. It's the same Archer that you're used to, and it's a different Saber, but it's the fact that it's Saber and looks the same, just a different costume. Cash is the only one that's, like, really different. I wish it gave you, like, Lancer as the option, and, like, Berserker as option. Especially Berserker. Especially freaking Berserker as an option. And who else? Either a different Archer. They could have even done a different Archer, a really different Saber, I wouldn't mind. Or Assassin, just to make the game even that much more annoying. And maybe do crap where it's like, okay, you can lock the Berserker class at the end. Because there's a second game, Fate Extra, Triple C, CCC. I don't know if it's C stand for anything or not. But in that game, once you beat it one time through, I believe, you can unlock another Archer class who, guess who it is? Motherfucking Gilgamesh. So you can unlock Gilgamesh after you play through the game the first time around with Fae Extra CCC. The game hasn't come out yet. It isn't slated to come out until February 2013. And that's only in Japan. And I can only but hope and pray that it comes out in America. I don't know. I mean, we got Fate Stay Night. We even got Fate Unlimited Blade. Fate Stay Night Unlimited Blade Works. We got Fate Zero, even though it's super expensive. Hopefully they're going to dub it. So I honestly feel like they're going to dub it. Hopefully, we got Fate Extra, which I was really surprised we got. I can only but hope and pray that we get Fate Extra CCC as well. But yeah, Gilgamesh is a selectable servant class. It's like, holy shit, I wish that was the case the first time around. But yeah, I wish they had more servant options. Also, I wish they had more character customization options. You can only choose the gender of your character, and their name. I wish you could do things like choose their outfit, or choose what kind of personality type they have, which could affect, you know, conversation options, whatever. I mean, I wish there's just more to do. Like, I wish, like, for example, when you got your armor, I wish that would actually affect the physical appearance of your character. Because I'm a major, like, I love that. I love that any game that does that. I love games where you have armor, and then whatever armor you wear determines the physical appearance of your character. A great example of this would be, Xenoblade Chronicles does this. Of course, Phantasy Star Online does this. Any MMORPG, basically, where change your equipment, it changes the appearance of your character. But I wish they did this for Fate Extra 2. It didn't, but whatever. Also, one of my kind of pet peeves with the Fate Universe, I wish they used a different Saber. It's like they're obsessed with Saber. I mean, Saber's awesome until you see Fate Prototype, and you're like, wow, I wish Prototype Saber was the Saber that they always use. But they use, what the hell? They use pretty much the same character. She looks like Saber, Arturia, at least. I mean, I know it's not Saber Arturia, it's Saber Nero, but she looks exactly the same. The only thing different is the red outfit, and then, surprise, surprise, probably by week 4, I'm assuming you find out that it's actually Nero of all people, but it's like, why are you obsessed with using, like, the same Saber? I know it's not the same Saber, but, like, similar Saber, use a different one. Like, it would have been fun if, you know, instead of, like, you know, Saber tier, if for Saber they use, someone, oh god, here we go. Remember my Legends and shit. I don't know, maybe, like, use another Knight of the Round Table for your Saber class person, or, I don't know, Date Masamune as her Saber. I say Date Masamune because I'm currently still obsessed with Sengoku Basara and Brave 10. But anyway, like, somebody else in Saber class, like, people you don't see, not, like, same fucking person. Also, another annoying thing about this game, which I didn't say, is that the game is subtitled. I have no problem with the Japanese seiyuu for this game. It's just the fact that during the battle, there's a crap load of battle comments, and the boss battles are really bad with this. They're just essentially having conversations with each other. Like, every time, every round, somebody's saying something. Every turn, somebody's saying something, and you have no idea what they're saying because it's all subtitled, and he didn't subtitle the fights, essentially. So I wish they dubbed the game, because then I know what the hell they're saying during the fights. But they didn't do that, so then you're kind of, like, that's like lost in translation type shit, where you just have no idea what they're saying for their battle comments. So when you're doing the Noble Phantasm, like, invocation speeches, like, you have no idea what they're saying. Unless you're fluent in Japanese. You just don't know. That's my other thoughts. So, also, like, despite my negatives, I mean, I'm looking forward to the second game, of course. I hope we get the second game. I'm praying we get the second game. Because this is the type of game, as a JRPG, like, yeah, you can't just, you know, oh, I'm just going to import it. I mean, you could, just for having its sake. But, like, you won't fight. It's a JRPG. Like, you have to know what they're saying. I mean, unless you know what you're fluent in Japanese, it's like, what's the point of importing this game in the language you don't understand, and it's a JRPG / visual novel, i.e., you have to know what the fuck they're saying, or else you won't get it. I mean, I imported Sengoku Basara Utage, when Utage's party in Japanese, apparently. I didn't realize that, which is hilarious. Thank you, Vian. I mean, that's what they named it, that, but whatever. Sengoku Basara Utage, long story short, we're not going to get that in America. They did press review, we're not getting that in America. We used Sengoku Basara 3, but we're not doing getting Utage, which sucks, because, like, all those characters you see in Sengoku Basara that are not playable, all of them are playable in Utage. It's like, yep, nope, we're not getting it in America. Suck it. You're like, god damn it. Why? This is bullshit. And it's whatever. But yeah, going back to Fae Extras, like, yeah, don't get the game. Don't import Fae Extras CCC, even if you don't think we're going to get America, because it wouldn't even be worth your time. You just have to deal with it. Anyway, wrap up this whole review. Final opinion. I've never been so ambivalent about a game before in my life. This is the most ambivalent. It's ridiculous. Cause it's like, there's so many things. Like, I really want to like this game, but at the same time, it's like, this game fucks up in so many areas that are just, it's basically unforgivable. But it's like, the game that previously held the title for most ambivalent was Tales of Vesperia, because that was a game, it's like, I really wanted to love it, but, like, the fight system had a lot of shit that's, like, you basically fuck the fight system, but at the same time, it's like, I love the characters, I love the fight, it's like, it was just so much stuff, like, I like this, but then this sucked, but then I like this, but then this, but yeah, now Fae Extra is the new current title holder for, like, most ambivalent I have ever been about game. Oh my god, this is so fucking ridiculous. I just don't know what to tell you. I'm so ambivalent. And probably if you also play this game as Castle Class, you probably feel the same way. I mean, either you're super ambivalent about it or you utterly despise the game, but this freaking game, let me tell you, holy shit. It could have been so much more, but they just said fuck it at the last minute. It's like they didn't even, like, have user testing for this game, because there's just a lot of things that's like, it probably seemed like a good idea to them, but, like, in playing it, it's like, that was a horrible idea. I don't know why anybody would think this is a good idea. I mean, especially when they had somebody like Axies as part of the developers for the game. It's like, you guys did Blaze Blue and you did Guilty Gear. How could you have such a shitty fight system? Oh. Whatever, but I'm not super bummed about the game. I mean, honestly, if coming from a Typhoon fan aspect, I recommend playing the game, but just don't play as Caster. At least not first. Start with Saber Archer. And from an RPG or JRPG enthusiast aspect, it's not even worth your time, honestly. I mean, you can play it, but you're just going to be pissed off with it. Especially if you hate level grinding and games that are text heavy. So, I mean, that's my review of Fae Extra. If I were to give it a score, I would give it a 6 out of 10 overall. It's decent, but, like, you know, whatever. Anyway, to wrap this up, my next episode 3, I don't know when I'm going to do it, because, I mean, I did 2 episodes today, and I was going to try to do weekly, so, whatever. But the next episode is going to be it's going to be the random rant topic, because, of course, one topic is going to be video games, the next topic is going to be random, like, a random rant that's anime video game related, and etc., etc., ad infinitum. My next topic is going to be, in the next episode, is going to be my thoughts, post AMA USA, or ALSA, as I like to call it. AMA USA was the first time I ever did panels, and of course, I submitted 6, they accepted 4, and then 5 of my panels, so I had to do 5 panels on top of having 2 jobs. So, basically, during that period of time in my life, I basically killed myself. I mean, if I wasn't working, I was working on panels. If I wasn't working on panels, I was working. But yeah, I'm gonna do my review on AMA USA, and basically, it was just super disorganized. But I'll tell you about that story next podcast. So, you know, thanks for being here, guys. Recording this, I had music in this file, but of course, this is an hour-long podcast. Wow, went for 10 minutes an hour. Holy jizzballs. But yeah, since I did that, I mean, the song that I originally used for the opening was Maze Deep Sea. The song that I'm going to use after that is going to be Canal to Terminal. The song we use after that is Archer's theme music. The song we use after that is Caster's theme music. The song we use after that is the main theme music for the game. And then I'm just going to loop it again if I still have space to go. So anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for being a bro and staying here. And you know, I'll catch you next episode. Ciao.